Chapter 9. The Five Precepts. Most people want to live a safe, healthy, and happy life. How do we proceed toward this ideal? The Buddha provided us with five precepts to guide us on our way to individual liberation. Not just for Buddhists, these precepts are basic to the major spiritual traditions and ethical teachings in our world today. The first precept is to refrain from killing. It is not the principle itself that people disagree on, but rather its interpretation. Some believe that abstention from killing only refers to not taking the life of another human being. Others feel that it is wrong to kill both people and certain animals, but all right to kill insects. Still others believe that to intentionally take the life of any living being is wrong. All these are interpretations of not killing. In Buddhism, not killing is the reverence for all life and is founded on compassion. All animals fear death and experience pain when hurt. Understanding this, we can try to be mindful of everything that we are doing. We do not want to inadvertently kill or hurt another living being. For example, we can try to be aware of where we are walking, so we do not carelessly step on living creatures. By keeping our homes clean, we attract fewer insects and mice, which reduces the likelihood of having to deal with removing them. If we do have mice, we can use traps that capture them alive and then free them in a safe area. Why go to all this trouble? Why not just kill them and be done with it? Isn't it natural to kill lower life forms like animals and insects? In our ignorance and arrogance, we incorrectly believe that we are superior to animals. But within every being is a true nature identical to that of all Buddhas. These enlightened beings have uncovered their true nature. Ours remain buried deep within us. When we finally awaken and uncover our true nature, we too will attain enlightenment and become Buddhas. Since all beings have this nature, we are by nature equal to one another. Our lives are different due to the different causes we planted in our innumerable lifetimes. All these causes are stored in our most subtle consciousness. When certain conditions are right, certain causes will mature, bringing forth corresponding consequences, while all the others remain dormant. In this lifetime, the causes we planted to be born the person we are have matured. The causes an animal planted to be born as that particular animal have likewise matured. Next time, our roles could be reversed. As we progress in our practice of compassion and no killing, the objective is not to give rise to a single thought of irritation, much less to anger. Compassion must be experienced and felt, not just understood on an intellectual level. Only when compassion and gentleness are an active part of our being will we stop reacting out of anger and hatred. Left unchecked, anger and hatred will eventually result in killing. Only when loving kindness is a functioning part of us will we end the wars within and between each of us and attain peace for all. Often when we are discussing the precept of no killing, people ask if all Buddhists are vegetarian. Actually, the Buddha never told us that we needed to be vegetarians. When he and those who were with him went into a town to silently request food, people would sometimes place meat in their offering bowls. So the Buddha ate meat when it was offered to him. But he did provide guidance as to when eating meat was inappropriate. Buddhists are not to eat meat. If we see the animal being killed, if we hear the animal being killed, or if the animal is killed specifically for us. Whether Buddhists choose to simply follow these three rules, or whether they decide to become complete vegetarians, often depends on environmental conditions and on specific cultural traditions. No matter what the reason is for not eating meat, many studies have concluded that vegetarians generally enjoy better health and live longer. The second precept is to refrain from taking what is not given. By not taking anything without permission, we will be free of nagging thoughts of having done something wrong. Even if an object appears not to belong to anyone, taking it will break this precept. Not stealing also includes paying others a reasonable and fair wage for work that is done, treating others fairly in a business, and returning borrowed items in a timely fashion. Just as the deeper meaning of abstaining from killing is compassion, the deeper meaning of not stealing is giving. The third precept is usually interpreted as refraining from sexual misconduct. But this precept is actually addressing any sensual indulgence, craving for food, sensations, and much more, not just sexual misconduct. Sensual indulgence distracts us from our inward search to find lasting happiness and freedom. It wastes our energy and leaves us with escalating wishes. We should not allow ourselves to be controlled by our senses. Instead, we need to refrain from indulging our senses. This will help us to feel more in control of our lives, to be more self-confident. The fourth precept is to refrain from telling lies. We should not deceive others for our benefit or for the benefit of those close to us. Instead of separating people with careless speech, we can use speech to bring others together, creating understanding and harmony. Not lying also means that we speak at the right time and in accordance with the facts. We are logical and say what is useful. We should not gossip or boast. By following this precept, we will find ourselves using words that are correct, honest, and beneficial. This will stop us from creating negative consequences for ourselves. Because we are honest and thoughtful, we will have the trust and respect of others. And by not offending others or causing dissension, we will get along well with people. In our practice of not lying, we also need to use wisdom and compassion. What should we do when a friend asks us how we like her new haircut? Or when you are driving to meet friends for dinner, and your husband asks if what he is wearing is okay? It is too late to do anything, and complete honesty will not be helpful at this point. It would be kinder to not say that the haircut is too short, or that the shirt is an unbecoming color. If our genuine intention is to avoid hurting the other person and not to flatter, then we can say the haircut and the shirt are fine. Afterwards, we can try to find a way to say that the former haircut was more flattering, and perhaps the shirt is not very becoming. For this, we need to find the right time. Precepts are not to be adhered to merely on a literal basis. We need to understand their logic so as to better judge how to wisely follow them. If we understand the intention behind a precept, we will be better able to adhere to its inherent meaning when encountering new or challenging situations. One good example of a precept that is easier to follow if one is aware of its underlying purpose is the fifth precept of refraining from intoxicants. This precept is not universally held, but the Buddha gave it to us in the hope that we would not take anything that would impair our judgment or that would lead us to harm others or ourselves. It is already difficult for us to abstain completely from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and lying. All of them encompass our thoughts and verbal and physical behavior in some combination. Although we can usually manage to control our behavior to some degree, restraining our thoughts is more difficult. When impaired judgment and reflexes reduce our mental restraint, which is what happens when we indulge in intoxicants, then taking them can result in our heedlessly breaking other precepts. Some people may ask, what is wrong with drinking one glass of wine or having a beer with friends? They may feel that it is okay and believe that one drink does not impair their judgment. But others might respond that this is setting a bad example for our children and those with us, and that ultimately it impacts our ability to awaken. Not smoking is also included under this precept. Studies are now indicating that smoking tobacco alters the brain in a similar manner to certain drugs. So smoking can actually impair our judgment. In addition, smoking is an addictive sensory indulgence, and addictions keep us from awakening and our goal of a pure mind. We also need to be wary of the consumption of toxins in what we see and hear. The toxins of violence, hatred, and fear in television programs, movies, books, and the internet are just as influential and damaging. We do not need to go to extremes on this. We just need to be careful in what we consume through each of our senses, and to make wise choices in what we read and view. Precepts are not designed to prevent us from having a good time. They help us to find and develop the inner strength to think and conduct ourselves correctly. By knowing how to be more mindful in our thoughts, speech, and conduct, we will be freer and less worried about behaving improperly or inadvertently hurting others.